Good morning. Good morning. And welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. We are so glad that you are here this Presbyterian Heritage Sunday. So if you notice the tartans around you this morning, we are indeed celebrating a wonderful day with all sorts of great music and worship opportunities this morning. But I do regret to share with you that our harpist was not able to be with us this morning. But we do welcome the Scottish Heritage Society and the Rochester Scottish Pipe Band that will be leading us in worship and calling of the clans this morning. And I also make a note for you that in case you didn't notice when you opened your bulletin this morning, a nice little envelope fell out. Part of the ways that we are Presbyterian together is through the ways we financially support all the different levels of the church, including the Presbytery, Synod, and General Assembly. And the way we do that is through our per capita giving. If you have already made your contribution, thank you. And if you have not, we made it easy for you this morning. So please use that envelope for your per capita giving. A few other announcements we have this morning. First, next Sunday is Pentecost. So this Sunday, you got to wear your tartan. Next Sunday, wear your red and come celebrate with us as the confirmation class joins the church. All right, another announcement I have. You'll see signs like this. Yard sale right around the corner. I am told that the last day for donations, Wednesday the 30th, so clean out your closets, your basements, and garage. And we still need volunteers. Frona has a few extra words about the yard sale. Come on up.
I know she said a few, so I'll be careful. I don't like begging, you know that, but I don't have any trouble asking. Friends, we need a lot of help, seriously. From 1 to 3 during the week, 6 to 8 at night, and you have the privilege, and it is a privilege, to be able to come the night before between 6 and 8 and buy all your precious gifts that you need. It's a wonderful evening to take advantage of some beautiful items. But please, think about it, even 1 hour or 2 hours within that week. And we want to make this the best we ever had. Thank you.
Thank you, Frona.
Just a quick reminder that the photo directors are in. They are in the fellowship hall, and we'll be distributing them right after service.
Dave. Youth group tonight, senior high youth group. We're going to be meeting at the Binko. It's going to be a birthday celebration of everyone's birthday. Bring a small gift to pass, nothing expensive, a pet rock. That'll work. On the mission side of the house, a group of dedicated people took our food to SWEM. We bring down 965.4 pounds of food down there. So that was very nice. And we're still collecting the men's clothing all month long for the Grace House. So we will definitely take all those items. So thank you so much for everything you guys do.
0.4 pounds must have been that macaroni and cheese box. All right. Let us now worship God together.
Please be seated. I'd like to welcome you all to this blessing of the Tartans, Kirking of the Sunday. This morning, it is the 33rd time that the Scottish Heritage Society of the Rochester area has done a kirking of the tartan. And this morning, we are hosted by the Gates Presbyterian Church. I'd like to call the clans now. And when I say your clan name, please stand up and remain standing. Anderson, Armstrong, Barclay, Bell, Beaton, Frazier, Burns, Bruce, Buchanan, Carr, Cameron, Campbell, Chatham, Chrisom, Chrisholm, Cunningham, Davidson, Donald, Douglas, Drummond, Dunbar, Elliot, Ferguson, Farquharson, Fife, Fletcher, Forbes, Graham, Gordon, Gunn, Grant, Hamilton, Henderson, Holmes, Keith, Kerr, Johnson, John Stum, Lamont, Leslie, Lambert, Lawson, Lawrence, Lindsay, MacArthur, McCafferty, McCall, McCollum, McLaren, McClure, McDougal, McDuff, McIntyre, McIntosh, McGregor, McCandish, Mackay, McKenzie, McKinnon, McNeil, McFarlane, McLeod, McMillan, McNaughton, McPherson, McMasters, McPhee, Malcolm, Matheson, Martin, Maxwell, Menzies, Moffat, Monroe, Morrison, Murray, Nicholson, Ramsey, Ross, Robertson, Rowe, Rose, Scott, Sexton, Shaw, Sinclair, Smith, believe it or not, Stewart, Thompson, Turner, Sutherland, Walker, Wallace, Watson, Webster, Windsor, Young, and Clan Dia, the family of God, which is everybody else.
We participate together in the call to worship. So let us sing. Praise be to God, who dared to take on human flesh and dwell among us.
Praise be to God,
who did not turn back in the face of evil and death.
Praise be to God,
who continues to dance through our lives even now.
Let all that have breath sing praise to God.
Open the doors and leave no pattern. as we sing the praises of our God, we come knowing that we are broken, hurting, and sinful. Let us join together in the prayer of confession. Forgiving and gracious God, you have called us to be the church, to live out our resurrection faith. You have asked us to place our trust in you and to bring to all the good news of your saving love. But we have failed to do this. We have given our faith a back seat to the troubles of the world and to the stresses in our own life. Help us to be open always to your word and your love. Challenge us to move in directions of peace and hope for all people. These things we pray in the name of our risen Lord. Choosing to set aside judgment, God gives us justice. Choosing to let go of punishment, God fills us with peace. Choosing to release anger, God's steadfast love rests upon us. Forgiven, redeemed, restored, we will tell everyone through the lives we lead what God has done for us. Thanks be to God. Amen. At this time, I invite the children to come forward. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I love your sash. You sit down, please. Sit down. You can sit right in front of me. Thank you. Good morning. So, did you guys know that the Presbyterian Church began many, many, many years ago in the country of Scotland when a man named John Knox, who studied with another guy named John Calvin, these were some early movers and shakers who were out there trying to change the church. They were pretty successful. And we celebrate this morning the ways that the Presbyterian Church has learned to be church together. So we celebrate that. And some of the ways we're celebrating that in worship this morning, did you guys hear that music playing that didn't come from the organ? Did you hear it? Do you know what those were? Bagpipes. Good job. That's right. Those were bagpipes. Those are beautiful, aren't they? I love them. They are loud, I know. And another way, did you see some of you guys have it on? Just sit down, please. Do you guys see the plaid? Do you see the different, all the different? Got some? You've got some? I've got some. This is called a tartan. And it's one of the ways that the families in Scotland that are called clans identify which family they're from. Did you guys hear all the families that were named this morning when they called them off? Yes, you guys are all part of those. And so all who are from Scotland, or who are parents or grandparents or great-great-great-grandparents came from Scotland, we get to celebrate our Scottish heritage. But you know something else pretty cool? Now you all are here and our Presbyterian, you guys claim Scottish heritage too. Pretty cool, huh? So let's pray together and celebrate the ways that we are Presbyterian. Dear God, thank you for our Presbyterian heritage and all the ways
we celebrate together. Amen. You guys can go to Sunday school. Thank you. Glad you're here this morning. I'm glad.
Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It brings fruit in its season, whose leaf always shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Dream.
Amen. Our second reading for the word this morning comes from the book of Acts. When they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away, when they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Together, the crowd numbered about 120 persons. And said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in ministry." So one of the men who have accompanied us during all that time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection. So they proposed two: Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship, which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. The text for this morning comes to us literally on the heels of Jesus' ascension. The Gospel of Luke ends, and it is thought that the same author repeats himself at the beginning of Acts with the account of Jesus promising his disciples and followers that the Holy Spirit will come upon them, and they will be his witnesses to the end of the earth. And as they are listening and watching attentively, he is lifted up to heaven, and they are left staring at the bottom of his feet. The apostles, or the disciples, being what they are, blessed yet broken bearers of the good news, stare at heaven after his feet are gone. They are stunned but not surprised by the marching orders they receive, and then prompted by two men in white robes who stood by them, they then go back to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, they dedicate themselves in community to prayer. And they wait for some sign, an assurance that the power to be who God created them to be, to do what Jesus instructed them to do, lies not in themselves, but a real
God-given energy of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will make a grand debut next week on Pentecost, so don't miss it, and also in chapter 2 of Acts. Even though the Holy Spirit makes a grand debut on Pentecost, remember, the Holy Spirit has been there all along. This is the same Spirit that filled John the Baptizer, that overshadowed Mary, that stirred Elizabeth and unstopped Zechariah's mouth and inspired Simon. The Lord's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, descended like a dove and whispered those words, "You are my son, the beloved. I am with you, and I am well pleased," as Jesus emerged from those baptismal waters. Jesus promises his faithful followers the same Spirit he needed and received will be with them. So our verses in this first chapter of Acts are an interesting, but not yet often preached about, look at how this community of disciples is working out in very practical ways how they are going to go about fulfilling God's mission in the world. The text says there are about 120 of them. They're praying. They're waiting for the Holy Spirit. But while they are doing this, Peter stands up and he points out, we've got a bit of a problem on our hands. Jesus chose 12 apostles. And 12 is a very important biblical number because it symbolizes the 12 tribes of Israel. And it is a necessary condition of Israel's restoration that those 12 tribes be in place. The problem, Peter says in a rather graphic account of Judas' death, that the lectionary thankfully conveniently leaves out, but take your bulletins home with you if you care to look up those verses. But Judas is gone, and now there are only 11. So a new apostle must be chosen. And since conveniently Jesus did not do that before disappearing into the sky, the leadership selection process begins. So, the 11 disciples start out by putting together a committee, writing up a description of the gifts and skills of the congregation, the qualifications they are looking for, and they pick out a few key words that they think will attract the right candidates for the job. Did I mention that the answers have to be in 1,500 characters, including punctuation and spaces? Former pastor nominating committees, this might sound familiar, but it's an important thing. And after receiving hundreds of applications, they pick out a few, do a few phone interviews, bring a couple of them into town, check out their preaching style, administrative abilities, and pastoral presence to those in need. And after 2 years, they think they finally have it. That's not how it went. That might sound a bit familiar, though. Maybe it went this way. They printed out a list of all those who were official church members. They made a check mark by those they thought would say yes and those who haven't been a leader recently. And they take a couple of months for some meetings, send out some form letters, and make a few phone calls, hoping and praying that there aren't too many no's before that final list is put together for the congregation for a vote. Not quite right, again. Whether it's 2 years or 2 months, neither of these Presbyterian processes for selecting leaders in the church holds a candle to what seems like a 2-hour process of this fast-track candidacy for apostleship, which I believe points to the urgency
the early church felt in regards to how they organized themselves. But timelines aside, what better text can there be for this Presbyterian Heritage Sunday than one that emphasizes the importance of how a community organizes itself to do God's mission? If the sound of being Presbyterian is heard in the bagpipes, surely the expression of our heritage is how Presbyterians organize ourselves to do God's mission. Never mind everything I said earlier about how long that can take. I'm sure there's a committee being put together to figure out how we can shorten that process, but it's true that the Presbyterians, we can trace our heritage back to the Scottish Reformation, but the way we organize ourselves goes back even further. When I read this text from Acts, one of the very first questions I have, aside from why didn't the group consider any women, but I'll let that one go for now. The question I have is, why didn't Peter just go ahead and pick one of the followers to fill that empty slot? Didn't Jesus say that Peter was the rock which he would build the church? It seems like an easy conclusion to draw that Peter had some power and authority in the group. Why didn't he use this prerogative to choose the replacement? It is in this context of hearing from Peter the requirements for leadership, of which there are only two. First, you had to walk with Jesus from his baptism until the ascension. And the second is that person must become a witness with us to his resurrection. And we don't know anything about those two names that emerged as the candidates other than they fit this criteria. In fact, neither of them has ever been nor ever will be mentioned in the Bible again. These names are put forward, and the first thing the community does is they pray together. The whole community, not just a small select group, but the whole community engages in prayer. And while the casting of lots or drawing straws seems kind of primitive, it reveals to us the way the community expressed a trust and openness to God's will in that process. One of the aspects of being Presbyterian I celebrate is the commitment we have in organizing ourselves to do God's will. And this shared power that is exercised by God as revealed and called in and through congregations and sessions and presbyteries and general assemblies. Just as the church is not limited to what happens here on a Sunday morning in this building, church leadership is not about one person like Peter, a pastor, a bishop, or a pope. It is about a community gathering for prayer and reflection, being open to what God is saying to us here and now, and going out together to become a witness to the new life in Jesus' resurrection. And I'll be honest with you, this process isn't always perfect. At times, it can be frustrating. But we are like the early church, broken, living in chaotic times, trying to figure out the best way we can respond to what God is doing.
in our lives and this world. May the Presbyterian Church, in its many forms, here in the United States of America, in Scotland, and all over the world, continue to be dedicated to being community, active in prayer, and open to the signs of assurance that the power to be who God created us to be, to do what Jesus has instructed us to do, lies not in just one person, any individual, but in the real God-given energy of the Holy Spirit. May it keep moving in us now and always. Like that early community of disciples, we gather together and we pray. I invite you now to share your prayers of joys, your prayers of concerns. Raise your hand if you have any as the ushers come around.
Hi, Todd Pym. Share a joy and a concern. Earlier this week, Jossie, our oldest, had to go to the ER at Park Ridge for severe abdominal pains. They ran a lot of tests. There's more to come this week with Heather and I, but the reason we bring it up is it was late night, and I had to get out of work early to go get Chloe. But there were several people in this church that wanted to, at the drop of a hat, come and help and get Chloe if need be. So Heather and I just wanted to say thank you for that, and it means a lot. We appreciate it. This is our second family. Thank you.
Amen.
I have a Cam Mossgraver, a prayer of joy, which also becomes a concern. Sarah, our middle daughter, received her master's in library science from UB, although at the same time about 50 other wonderful, eager, intelligent, creative young people also received their degree. So then the prayer becomes that she finds an appropriate use for her degree and can find a job. Thank you.
One up front here. Can you get those hands up high?
Jan Buettner, I just a little while ago had a text from Sherry Now, and she's asking for prayers for a very dear friend of hers, Pat, who's been battling cancer, and they just took her back in the hospital. And that's why Sherry's not here, because she went to the hospital to be with her. So prayers for Sherry. Sherry's having a tough time with it, too.
All right, and the prayers. Oh, we have one in the back. Getting your workout this morning, Jason.
I have a joy. My daughter Sharon and her boyfriend Joe got engaged yesterday.
Oh! Congratulations. Sharon is also one of the elders who serves faithfully on the session here. Congratulations. All right, and prayers from our children this morning from the third and fourth grade. Joy for a grandma's birthday. And from the first and second grade, Molly is excited about going horseback riding. The children are very thankful for Mrs. White's end-of-the-year picnic for the junior choir. And we are all thankful for the nice weather, for birthdays, and for grandparents. Let us continue our prayers. Our gracious and eternal God, we thank you for the challenges which life brings. It brings changes, which sometimes, like that early community gathered, throws us into crisis. Be with us in such times in our Christian community. Like those early disciples, help us in our common life to find your guidance in our collective decisions. Help us to approach our decisions seeking your guidance through prayer. Help us to focus on the common good and not be driven by our own selfish interests. Help us to share, O God, in our mutual ministry, and lead us forward. Help us to create a community where love, acceptance, and mutuality are expressed, where joy abounds, and where results are achieved because we are all working hand in hand together. God, we ask that you would save us from being closed off to escape from the world. Instead, open the windows of our souls to the world and its needs. Send us forth from this place to be your witnesses to the good news of Jesus Christ, to be your servants for those in need, to visit the sick and imprisoned, to remember the forgotten of our society, and to work for justice and peace. Use our varied gifts so that, as Peter suggested, we all might do our fair share in ministry. God, bolster us in moments we feel inadequate for the task and give us courage. God, we celebrate the ways that we are church together now and always. We offer these prayers, both spoken and aloud, and those in the silence of our hearts, saying together the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God has blessed us with such generous gifts. Let us celebrate those gifts and offer back to God a portion of them. Let us continue our worship with our morning offering. God, it is from you that all blessings flow. And as they flow upon each of us, O God, we celebrate together the ways that we can be church together and offer these blessings back to you in and through this world, this community, and this church. God, we celebrate and give thanks. Amen.
Almighty God, who is not without witness in every land and generation. We give you thanks today, especially for the faith and zeal of the Celtic Church, for Patrick, Columba, Bride, and all who have labored for Christ in Scotland. We honor the workers who kept faith and art and scholarship alive in dark centuries, and whose zest for the gospel brought Jesus to the Picts and the Scots. We celebrate the memory of bards and warriors, of poets and pipers, of deeds of valor, and of causes lost. We remember the countless common people throughout the ages in kitchen and field, marketplace and factory, classroom and home, who have lived the faith and tradition of the Celtic Church, both in Scotland and around the world. And finally, we give thanks for all who have gathered here today to carry on that witness for the ages to come. Teach us, Lord, to honor our heritage without forgetting our faults, to celebrate our heroes and ancestors without hating our neighbors, and above all, to remember you, the God of all, who calls us to the joy and love and peace of all humanity. Almighty God, you have promised that in all places where you are remembered, you will meet your people to bless them. Now, bless us and these tartans, the symbols of our heritage, which we dedicate to you, and grant that the people who wear them and the clans represented by them may behave justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you all the days of their lives, through Jesus Christ our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
And we go from this place as the witnesses of Christ's resurrection, to live, to be the body of Christ in this world, now and always. Alleluia. Amen.